Okay, any question? In this Abhidhamma?
The whole, or the book. Yeah.
Abhidhamma?
I've never seen it.
That is the you know, the Bhikkhu Bodhi has edited one, a comprehensive of Abhidhamma.
Oh, okay.
But without that book is very difficult to understand.
There's no.
If you don't attend the class, and if you want to study on your own, I don't think you.
There's no commentary.
You can find Yanaponika, Mande Bodhi, Bhikkhu Bodhi's teacher.
Okay.
But he has written a book, a study of Abhidhamma, something like that. But you will find it difficult to understand.
Okay, so there's nothing.
You can have a look.
Okay.
I don't know. No question.
Can you explain the Buddhist teaching from India to the northern part and then the south part? What is the basic differences?
We call it northern school and southern school. Chinese we call Bei Chuan Nan Chuan Man. Northern school emphasize on Bodhisattva, Pusatao, Bodhisattva path. It's a later part of Buddhism. But Southern school is more on authentic, more 原始, more authentic teaching of the Buddha. And mostly emphasize on self-liberation. Although many monks are also pursuing Bodhisattva path, but they do not mention, they do not speak that I practice Bodhisattvahood. Not like Northern school. Almost everybody say they are practicing Bodhisattva path. So this is basically the two this is basically the difference between Northern school and Southern school. What else do you want to know? And this Northern school has also divided into two parts. Northern school. It's very close to Buddha's teaching. But Houqi, the Northern school, is, I think many are not the origin teaching of the Buddha. Therefore, you've got to be very cautious. If you want to know the true teaching of the Buddha, all schools agree with Ahanjing Nikaya, Sutta. Nikaya, four Nikayas, Majjhima Nikaya, Anguttara Nikaya, Samyutta Nikaya, and Nikka Nikaya. This Nikaya, Ahanjing, are fundamental teaching of the Buddha. That all schools agree with death.
For the whole thing that you mentioned about the person who do the unwholesome karma and then it could be repeated countlessly, right? And it can repeat every life. But how about if the person doing like bad karma and at the end of his life he would go down to the hell for like let's say 500 years or something, and when he's finished, sometimes we think of when he finished he can be a person again. For that bad karma he already like suffered. And how can like it to be repeated, I mean countlessly.
When you become a person again, sometimes the bad karma which he performed previously also ripen again.
Ripen again in the being a human. But how about the time that he were already suffered in the
Already suffer, never end.
never end.
Because one snap of finger, trillions consciousness arise and pass away. So when a person engage in unwholesome, there are many jhavana moment. There's no end to it.
But sometimes we think of that is the person already like become the animals, go to the animal realm and the how about the hell realm, and
Yes.
then they
It only repair partially.
only partially
Not yet, not end. Not yet the whole. It not yet pay whole. Until become parinibbana. Until a person be enter into parinibbana. When there's no more mind and body, then the unwholesome result cannot take place. As long as there is mind and body, whether you are in animal realm, human realm, or the unwholesome result will take place when the conditions are ripe. Depend on the condition. When the condition is not ripe, then the result, then the karmic force will high underground. So业障是洗不掉的，不能消业障。
因为我一直以为说你受苦之后，在就是你好像骑马，好像人家是坐牢嘛，你坐骑马了，然后你就变成人了，
那
好
个
像这
坐
样
牢
吗？
是现实法，
现实
我
法。
们的因果是三
对，
世因果
对，那我说的坐牢就是好像你下地狱去
嘛。
受苦，然后你好像结束了那个苦报之后，你那个已经过去了。But you mentioned that is never end.
那过去是 the many jhavanas, one of the jhavana only. There are so still so many jhavana waiting for us to ripe, to take effects.
When the time the time is ripe,
Yes.
that is going to happen.
Yes.
Good question. For the 52 mental factors, how does that go in that process? Is that before jhavana?
No, jhavana, each jhavana has at least let's say 16, 15 mental factors.
But I thought the jhavana will be only for the consciousness, the sense to feel consciousness, conscious,
Consciousness.
yeah, consciousness.
Consciousness cannot arise alone. Consciousness must arise together with mental factors.
So when
This
you
is the
say the
law.
jhavana,
Yes, there's a jhavana. Let's say seven jhavana. One of the jhavana, there is only one consciousness. Whether wholesome consciousness, unwholesome consciousness, accompanied with many mental factors.
Thank you. But at the beginning, I think you had something say the feeling, perception is right.
All these are mental factors.
That I think that's before the jhavana happened, or that's only in the
This feeling perceptions arise together with all type of consciousness. All consciousness must arise together with feeling, perception, contact, volition, and so on.
But you said Javana is only one consciousness in a moment, and then repeat that
Yes.
step.
Consciousness only arise once at a time. Mental factors can arise many together. Let's say 20 mental factors or 18 mental factors. together, arise together, arise together with only one type of consciousness in jhāvana moment. Let's say this path consciousness is consciousness. It cannot arise alone. It must accompanied with 33 mental factors for path consciousness. Yeah,
But each circle is a consciousness, doesn't it also accompany with the mental
yes,
factors?
right. This is the law. Two must arise together. Mental factors and consciousness. But consciousness arise once at the moment. Mental factor arise as a group, many, many.
Imagine this morning, five ways to discard the evil. Can I explain that again?
Four ways.
Four ways, not five ways. Sorry, okay. Four ways I know already.
You want me to explain again? Four ways. One is to prevent the unarisen evil, guarding your sense door by concentrating your mind on a single object, let's say anapana or loving kindness. When your mind is keep on sending love to other people, then the anger will not arise in you. Your eye cannot see clearly, ear cannot hear clearly, and so on. So this is called effort to prevent unarisen evil. Then if evil has arisen, then you must have effort to discard it. For example, anger has arisen in you. Then how to discard the anger? By meditating on loving kindness. Opposite state of the mind. You apply the antidote, the opposite state of the mind. Let's say anger, what's the opposite state of the anger? Loving kindness. So you send loving kindness, you radiate loving kindness to the person you get angry. May he or she be well and happy again and again. Then you discard the anger which has arisen in the mind. This is called effort to discard. Right. 慈心禅是对治这个嗔恨，所以 嗔恨升起就用慈心禅来对治，这个叫 effort to discard. 那如果嗔恨这个贪爱升起 lust, lust has arisen, then you use practice repulsiveness. Let's say repulsiveness, the 32 part in the body, 32身分, each part of the body is repulsive. Head hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin, you know, lung, urine, feces. You recollect the repulsiveness of each part of the organ in order to discard the thought of lust or lustful thought. And let's say, and if the jealousy has arisen in the mind, then we practice appreciative joy, 随喜. Appreciative joy, rejoice in other people's achievement. Therefore, then when you rejoice in other people's achievement, then you discard the jealousy. This is called effort to discard. You pay attention to the opposite state of that evil state. 来对治那个升起的烦恼，用正的来对治反的，就对了。OK。Yes. Effort is the root of all achievement. Without effort, you cannot bring everything to fulfillment. So effort doesn't mean that you sit there 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. No. if you sit meditation 1 hour, 3 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, yes, you have the physical effort. But this not enough. You also must have mental effort to discard whatever unwholesome state that has arisen in your mind. That effort is needed in your daily life. Because in your daily life, a lot of defilements arise. Right? When you associate with people, when you do something or somebody, when you are offended by somebody, then agitation, anger, aversion, all types of emotion will arise. At a time, you must have the right effort to remove them in order to have peace of the mind. Any other question? The Four Noble Truths with the attainment of the path. This big subject. Big subject. Four Noble Truths is the accent of Buddha's teaching. Many people start to appreciate Buddha's teaching by way of understanding the Four Noble Truths, especially the First Noble Truth, the truth of suffering. Aging, birth is suffering. Why birth is suffering? Because aging, sickness, and death follow after birth. When there's no birth, no aging, no sickness, no lamentation, no despair, no separation from the loved one, no association with a hated one. And suffering also due to you cannot get. Not getting what you want. Sometimes you want something very, very much, but you cannot get it. For example, when a man falls in love with a female, but he cannot get her, it's also a cause of suffering. This all suffering are very common, but Buddha say, in brief, five aggregates are the truth of suffering. So without understand the five aggregates are the truth of suffering, one cannot attain the path, Nibbana. So what is this five aggregates? Body aggregate, we call form aggregates, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. This I will explain in my retreat, because it takes very long time to explain one by one. And this way, I wrongly identify these five aggregates, for example, our body, our feelings, our perception, our emotions, our happiness, sorrow, lamentation. We wrongly identify them as myself. Because of wrongly identify them as myself, clinging arise. Cling to the feelings, cling to our happiness, even cling to our sorrow. And all this are under the truth of suffering. And where the suffering comes from? If you investigate your own life, from the youth until now, or when you were born until now, you investigate yourself. What caused you suffering? If you think you are suffering, then what caused you suffering? Craving. So Buddha said the origin of suffering is craving. We have three types of craving. Number one is craving for sensual pleasures. Our greedy eye always want to see beautiful things. Our greedy ear always want to hear pleasant things, music and so on. And our greedy nose want to smell fragrance, and our tongue want to eat delicious food, our body want to have soft touch, our mind also indulge in all the fantasy, recollecting the past or thinking of future. Very seldom we stay at the present. So all this, since we crave for all the enjoyment from the sixth sense door. However, all this enjoyment, are they lasting or not? No, they already passed, right? They already passed away. And yet we crave for the new one again. And pass away, we crave for a new one. Never end. This is the nature of craving. Never satiated. Once you get, you want another one. So if you earn, let's say, 3,000 a month, you want 5,000, you want 6,000. If you reach the target, you want more. This is the nature of craving. Never satiated, insatiable. And not only that, we also crave for life. We crave for existence. That's why we're afraid of death. Because we're afraid of death, death become one type of suffering for us. Thinking of death, we already feel very uncomfortable. Why we feel of death? Because we crave for existence. We want to live again, again, and again. Even though our life are full of suffering. Even though full of suffering, we still want to have next life. This is the nature of craving. We call craving for life. Craving for existence. So many people don't like the idea of Arahant. So they change. They say Arahant can come back again to the world. Right? In the northern school, many people say that now. Arahant can come back again to the world. Because after attainment of Arahant, after Parinibbana, nothing exists. This idea is not okay for those who crave for existence. Therefore comes the new theory, Arahant can come back again to the human world. This Arahant can come back again to the human world is not accepted in the authentic teaching of the Buddha. 回小相大呢, is not accepted in the authentic teaching of the Buddha because it is impossible. A person become Arahant because he has uprooted the root cause for existence. Ignorance and craving. When the root cause has been uprooted, how can he reborn again? Rebirth take place with causes. Rebirth take place with ignorance and craving as root cause. Now the root cause has been destroyed, has been uprooted, has been removed permanently. Then how can the rebirth take place again? Just the root of a tree has been cut off. Then you ask the root, ask the tree, please spring up, spring, please grow again, please. No, because it is against the nature. It against the nature, the law of nature. So from this theory of 回小相大, come back, Arahant, come back again. It's just a manifestation of craving for life. Craving for existence. Okay, so this is the origin of suffering. Then the cessation, as you practice for Four Noble Truths, the third noble truth is the cessation of all suffering. When you practice again and again, especially Vipassana, you see again and again the rise and fall of the body, of the feelings, of the formations, of your consciousness. When you see rise and fall again and again, then you feel very disenchanted. Everything appears to you as rise and fall, you cannot hold on to something which is rise and fall, which is rising and falling away. So once your insight reveal to you that everything is in a state of flux, then you feel disgusted, you feel disenchanted, you feel that it is danger to have this mind and body, because the mind and body is keep on disappearing, disintegrating. This is called seeing rightly, seeing correctly. When you reach this state, then you understand. When this arising and passing and this mind and body, if this mind and body come to completely cessation, this is peace, this is bliss, which is Nibbana. It's called cessation of all suffering. And to reach this state, you have to walk the path. That's Noble Eightfold Path. Right view, right thought, right action, right speech, right livelihood, right mindfulness, right effort, and right concentration. When you walk this path to the end, you reach the cessation of all suffering. This roughly what Buddha said for Noble Truth. And you reach the state, first attainment of path and fruition. Okay? I will explain more in my retreat now, not now.
Is Buddha also Arahant also?
Of course.
That theory that Arahant cannot go back, then how come Buddha will go back to our earth?
Buddha never come back. Who say? Who told you Buddha come back?
No. Before he's right. Before, but also he would become a Buddha when he believed in this, right? He only a Nibbana, that's me.
What do you mean before? What is before?
When he was the what's that? The prince.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When he was prince, he has not yet become Arahant. He is ordinary person. Ordinary person. Fanfu.
Yes.
Yes.
That. Okay. But that's mean the when you have the 6 year after that, he know the truth.
Yes,
right?
He become Arahant and become Buddha. Yes. After
oh,
6 years.
Okay, I see.
After six
okay.
years, he became Arahant. And became Buddha. Okay, what's the difference between Arahant and Buddha? This, I think Mahayana has a lot of confusion about this one. Arahant is not a person. Arahant is a name designed for anyone who has killed all the defilements. Arahant means 杀贼, 破贼, 破什么贼啊? 烦恼贼. So anyone who have killed all the defilements are called Arahant. So Buddha also killed all the defilements, right? Therefore, he is Arahant. But not all Arahant is Buddha. Is Buddha. Moggallana Arahant, because Moggallana has killed all the defilements. Venerable Sariputta is also Arahant, because he has killed all the defilements. But Venerable Moggallana and Venerable Sariputta are not Buddha.
Something more than the Arahants, right?
Yes. Well, he has omniscience mind, omniscience knowledge. 一切知识. He know whatever he want to know. Arahant cannot have. Arahant has no that knowledge. He has a lot of things that Arahant don't have. The only same thing, they share the common things is Arahant and Buddha have killed all the refinements. This is the common thing they have. Other things, they are not same.
What's the difference between Arahant and Bodhisattva?
This Bodhisattva path, according to Northern School and Southern School, also that's different between Bodhisattva in Northern School and Southern School. In the Southern School, Bodhisattva or Bodhisattva is ordinary person. but he aspired to become Buddha. He is not noble one. Why he cannot become noble one? If he want, he can. But why he cannot? Why he doesn't want? Because if he become a noble one, they say, stream enter, huh? We have noble one, four stages. Shitohan, Shitohan, Anahan, Arahan, four stages. So if he become a noble one, stream enterer, he only has six, he only has maximum seven lives to come. And in order to become Bodhisattva, aspire to become Buddha, in order to become Buddha, he has to practice parami, 10 parami up to the minimum 4 asankhya and 100,000 kappa, the shorter one, the shorter. The longest, 16 asankhya and 100,000 kappa. So 7 life, how can he finish? How can he accomplish his parami in order to become Buddha? Therefore, although he has all the qualities to become a noble one, he cannot become a noble one because he has to fulfill his parami. Therefore, Bodhisattva in Southern school, he is an ordinary person, not a noble person. But Arahant, ordinary person, means he still has a lot of defilements. Bodhisattva still has a lot of defilements. Therefore, sometimes he fall into hell. Sometimes he become animals. Sometimes he become ghosts. Because defilement, he still has defilements. But Arahant has completely uprooted all the defilements. And Arahant has no rebirth. Bodhisattva had to take rebirth again and again, again and again to fulfill his paramis in order to become the Buddha. This is Southern school of Bodhisattva. But in Northern school of Bodhisattva, I think you know better than me. Yes. So it's up to you to make your own judgment. I cannot force you to believe what I believe. A wise person keep the mind open. Right? A wise person do not cling to his own culture. A wise person do not cling to his way of thinking. He keep the mind open and see and wait until his own wisdom matured, then one day he knows. Okay. No more? Then we should end here. Okay, thank you. Next week is the last day. I will talk about the process of birth and death. It's a very interesting one.
Switch it.